perfectly. Neither can it be realized by giving up Upanishad Dharma and coming in the renounced order of life. It is not realized by performing so many austerities, such as sitting, surrounding oneself by a ring of fire in the scorching hot sun of the summer, or in the very cold winter by meditating, submerging oneself in freezing cold water. It cannot be realized by any of these things. It can only be realized
by practicing the Upanishad.
It is only realized by one method, being
by giving up.
Not by reading so many Vedic scriptures, only one way,
there's so many persons reading Srimad Bhagavatam, they become mad or they went to Jahannam.
Jahannam is hell.
So, this is not true. But if you read or hear the guidance of in the high class of
It says, Vina Mahatpada Rajo Vishekam. All of these processes, they will not be effective in producing realization of Atmanya, of the soul, and also of who is God and the relationship with God. How will this knowledge be effective? Only by smearing one's entire body, doing abhishek, taking a bath completely in Mahatpada Raja, the Puja of Mahat, a great liberated, self-realized personality. That means to be unconditionally surrendered at the lotus feet of the self-realized soul. And being unconditionally surrendered and trying to order that person to pray that one drop of his mood may come in one's heart. And thus, by those transcendental moods of love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are received by the disciple who is unconditionally surrendered at the lotus feet of his guru, only then can this knowledge be realized practically.
Once there are Guru and one Shishya. The father sent Krishna to a realized Mahatma Muni that you should go and you should know about Atma Parma. He tried himself, but he was his son. So, like father, anyone can have different condition. He can send others, but not his son. So he sent. After 25 years, he returned. And he came to father. Father examined him. Oh, what do you know about Atma and Parma? Can you give any example? You can tell what is the real thing? Because I have so much doubt. Paramatma is everywhere. I cannot accept it. Never. Being a body, how he can having a body, like Krishna having body, but he will be all pervading. How he? I think. Now then he told that bring a piece of
rock salt.
He brought, he told that he used to bring any form. And he told that he used to serve the pot with water. And keep that rock salt in that. And he used to
dilute
the current. After some time, all the salt became water. Then he told, can you bring that salt that I gave you? When you are mixed in water, very. Then he began to think, how? He searched here, there in water, but papers in that time. And anyhow, you will have to bring. So I think.
Not possible.
No, not possible. Not possible? No. Bring some
stove,
fire.
Stove.
And the stove. And keep the pot on that. And it used to go on doing things. Fire by stove. Hot. So hot. And he was doing so on the power.
Separated.
And soon there was no water. And all stove were there. And he took all and made it
ball.
A ball like this. You can test whether this stem is yes. Put Krishna or God in everything. Like he is
milk.
Like oil in six. But we have to do practice. Without practice we can realize. So this practice is possible. And by Bhakti God, we can see that. Yes. And also in his body, for Shyam Sundar, not for him. This is not written anywhere. Guru, like his own realization, things, new things, discovered and things to him. Because new Sankar, doubt comes according to atmosphere and view. New question. And it is very hard for any person. But that is why Acharya comes and resolve all and make it. By their own experience and their own
realization.
Yes. Otherwise, in book everything is there, you can read and you can find something to do with it. Practice of something that it is not simple. It is lock and key. So Swamiji has written all things, but why all are dedicating? Why not that? These books are there. There must be some Bhagavat. By Bhagavat can teach you Bhagavat. Then now we can.
Janam Janasalakaya Tvastolam Vidhyayena Sajnam Shri Varayana. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Padma-Rajasama Guru Padma-Padma, Nityu Yudhu Vishram Vishnu Padma, Sotavishita Sri Srimanti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I say my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Padma-Rajasama Guru Padma-Padma, Sri Guru Dev, Om Vishnu Padma, Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj. My obeisances to all these Sama devotees. Chaudhary Dev has asked me to speak about Paranjana Upakya. In Srimad Bhagavatam, although all the events and history are true, however wondrous and amazing they are, like Lord Vishnu's breathing in and out the universes, or Brahma creating the different parts of the universe from the different manifestations of his own body, this particular story of King Paranjana is not true like the real history. It's an allegory. It's symbolic. Narada Muni wanted to liberate one king named Prasini Bharasat. This king, Prasini Bharasat, and this king was engaged in fruitive activities for elevation to higher planets. And for enjoying this material world. So Narada Muni approached him when his friend...
So he just sacrificed the whole world, all of us, to see. That he was for everyone, so he became.
So when he was...
Narada wanted that, oh, what? He is doing? He is misusing all these things.
So while the king's sons were away doing austerity for 10,000 years, during that time, Narada Muni came to the palace of King Satinivasi, and he told him that you're wasting your life here. There's two aims of the living being. One is to get free from material suffering, and one is to enjoy material happiness. But neither of these two aims can be accomplished by fruitive activity, by material activity. Only by cultivation of transcendental knowledge and ultimately engaging in the service of the Lord can one be happy in this life and in the next life and free from all material misery. So the king, being pious, he said, yes, I'm bewildered by my fruitive activity. I'm not finding any happiness. So please elevate me by giving me transcendental knowledge. So Sri Narada Muni told him that I'm going to tell you a story. I'm telling you the story of a king named King Karanjana, and he was very much like you. Actually, Narada Muni is telling the story of the king himself, but in this allegory, because if I tell you something directly, some fault of yours, you'll become very defensive, and you won't want to hear. So if I say it in some indirect way, using myself as an example or a story, then without feeling attacked, you may become submissive to hearing, and then you'll want to change. So Narada Muni used this psychology. He said once there was a very famous king named King Karanjana. So this Jana, Karanjana, Jana means the soul, who had entered the...
Oh, don't
So King Karanjana was a very great hero and a very famous king.
Very beautiful song.
But he wasn't happy. So he thought, I'll travel all over the earth until I find happiness.
He was also married, beautiful wife also. But he wanted new, very beautiful wife, kingdom, everything.
So he traveled all over the earth, mountains, seas, everywhere, all the countries, but still he couldn't find any resting place, any peace, any happiness. Finally, he came to Bharatvarsha, India, and there he settled down. And he came to one city, and he became the king of that city. And he had an assembly house in the capital of the city. There were so many gates and roads going back and forth, beautiful parks, towers, palaces. The buildings were made of silver, gold, and iron. And he went through a park to find happiness.
How many roads?
Nine gates in the city. And he went to a park, very beautiful park with lakes and waterfalls and beautiful birds singing and bees humming. And as he was walking to find some enjoyment, we saw a very beautiful young girl, very sweet and smiling, beautiful eyes, wearing a golden dress, a golden sari, golden colored sari with a golden belt, very graceful, walking just like an elephant or a swan. And he began speaking to her, being absorbed and attracted by her. And with her were 10, 11 servants and hundreds of wives. These 11 servants had hundreds of wives.
Hundreds of?
And they were followed by hundreds and hundreds of ladies. And she also had one bodyguard with her. And this bodyguard was not an ordinary looking bodyguard.
Bodyguard had how many mouths?
He had five heads. And he was actually a serpent with five heads. So King Karamana asked her.
Anyone else?
11 servants. Avijata, very important. King Purushana had a very close friend, Avijata. Vidyata means without knowing. Although this friend has always been with him and always would be with him, and was always thinking of his welfare, arranging everything for him, and was the source of his existence actually, he was not aware that this friend existed. So this friend is Avijata. So not aware of his real friend, he became attracted to this lady and asked, "Oh, who are you? Are you the wife of Brahma? Are you the wife of Narayan? Are you the goddess of fortune? Are you the wife of Shiva? You must be some very great lady. And whoever is your husband, he must be so opulent and so fortunate. But actually, maybe you're not a demigoddess, or you're not the goddess of fortune, because I see that your feet are touching the floor. But still, you're so beautiful, I think that you should become my wife." And she also told him that, yes, we should definitely enjoy together. The spiritualist, transcendentalist, they don't know how to enjoy at all. They miss the opportunity for enjoyment. They have the senses and the body and the mind, but they don't know how to utilize them to their full opportunity. But material household life, that's the actual place to enjoy, so I think we should make some connections. So he and this beautiful lady got married, and he became her faithful servant, and she was also his faithful servant. Because generally a wife who is chaste and submissive, following everything that the husband says, she becomes very attractive to the husband. And the husband then becomes bound and obligated to serve the wife in all respects. So he actually became her faithful follower. When she slept, he slept. When she smiled, he smiled. When she was sad, the poor king was also sad. And when she was happy, he took pleasure with her. When she ate, drank, whatever she thought about, whatever she looked at, whatever she heard, he would also hear, he would also see. So in this way, their life continued. And later, they enjoyed so much that their life very, very quickly came to an end. At the time when he was getting old, one lady came to him, named Kalakanya.
He went out hunting.
He went out hunting.
And when he returned, he saw, oh, very sad.
His wife was very upset and sad and not dressed at all. So he apologized to her that without your permission, I went out hunting so many animals. But now I hope that you kindly forgive me, and because I'm so rusty for you, I hope that you'll kindly enjoy with me. So she forgot her sadness, her anger and everything, and enjoyed with him for so many, many, many years, thousands and thousands of years, until finally their life started coming to an end. At that time, one lady came who wanted to marry King Suresana. Her name was Kalatanya, or Jara, and she had also been searching all over the world for a husband. So this lady, she also tried at one point. Well, she was invalidity. Actually, the name, the meaning of her name is invalidity due to old age. So nobody wanted to marry her. Everybody ran away from her because she was so old, ugly, invalid, and anybody that she would contact, they would also become old, ugly, invalid.
Not at all. We, so many rogues. So many daughters and sons, so grown by
She was actually, by the time she reached Purandana, she was already in connection with other men. But when, before she met Purandana,
it has been written that that Jara, she wanted to marry this Narasimha.
Right.
And she followed, but first she came.
Because Narada Muni was an Aishik Brahmachari, completely controlled in his sensual activities and fully devoted to Vaishnava culture, following the Sadhachara. But because Narada is very merciful, although he himself rejected her, he wanted to be merciful to her and give her some husband. So he said, you should go to Yavanaraj, the king of the Yavanas, and Chandraveda. Chandraveda means time. Actually, she was the daughter of time. But he sent her to Yavanaraj, the king of the Yavanas. Yavana means Yavana and Lesha. Doesn't only mean Westerners. Whether somebody is in India or Malaysia or our American and European countries, anybody who doesn't follow the principles of Vedic culture, of Brahminical cleanliness, rising early, attending Mangalarti, chanting Hare Krishna, serving the deity, offering prasadam, all the activities of Vedic culture, and they instead take wine, eat meat, and do all of their abominable activities.
Against the bhakti and Krishna.
They are called Vaishyas and Yavanas. So the king of the Yavanas, Yavanaraj, who is himself death personified, he agreed to accept her, not as a husband though. He agreed to accept her as a sister, and as one would have incestuous activities with his daughter or sister, in that way he accepted Kalatanya or Jara. And he said, actually, I'm accepting you as my sister, but I have a very good husband for you, and that's my older brother, Sajvara. Sajvara means high fever, given by Vishnu at the time of death. So with Sajvara, Yavanaraj, Chandraveda, and all of his soldiers, he came to city of King Suresana. So who are the soldiers of Chandraveda? Time, 360 Gandharvas and 360 Gandharis. 360 nights and 360 days. Black Gandharvas and white Gandharvas. And they all came to attack the city of King Suresana. So Kalatanya,
what is the meaning?
That just as Chilavarade gives the story of the black rat and the white rat who represent the day and night cutting on the branches of the our corrupted karma, this body, the result of our fruitive activity and our lifespan. So these 360 days and nights, Gandharvas and Gandharis, were cutting away at the life of King Suresana. So she came and embraced him. And as soon as she embraced him, he became attacked with invalidity and old age. And at that time, all of his sons and servants and ministers and relatives and citizens all became disgusted with him, and they all left him and neglected him. And his wife also neglected him. So he was trying to take shelter of all these servants, ministers, relatives. Nobody would help him at all, and his wife refused to help him. So at that time, the soldiers, 720 soldiers of Chandraveda, came and set fire to poor King Puranjana's city. And generally when there's a fire in the forest, the animals that have very long legs, four legs, or even the insects with many legs, they can run fast. But a serpent, he only can crawl on his boneless back. And so mostly in a forest fire, the snakes will die. They'll be burnt. So the bodyguard of King Puranjana and his wife, Puranjani, he became most afraid of the fire that was attacking the city of King Puranjana. And he ran to leave the city. But it was attacked on all sides. So when the servants of the bodyguard, the servants of the bodyguard and the bodyguard all left the city, leaving the relatives and citizens, sons, grandsons, all unprotected, and they all became completely like dead in the fire. They all became lifeless in the fire. And the bodyguard took King Puranjana to his next body. In his next life, because he was so attached to his wife, he became a woman. And her name was Vidarbhi. And Vidarbhi happened to marry a king named King Malayadwaja. And they begot 9 children. And she served him very, very well as a chaste wife. And then it came time for him to take Vanaprastha. So they both left their home and went to the forest. And she was serving him in so many ways, and he was practicing great renunciation. But one day, when she was massaging his legs, she found that his legs had become cold because he left his body. So at that time, she began weeping and weeping for the loss of her husband. And just at that time, one Brahmana, young Brahmana, came to her, and he said that you and I are actually friends. Since the beginning of time, we've been friends. And I've been traveling with you from body to body. But you have forgotten me, although we're very, very intimate. So by speaking to Vidarbhi about the soul and the super soul, Paramatma, she became a follower of that Brahmana. He said, we're just like two swans in a lake, two very beautiful swans in a lake. And we're always meant to be together. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about these two birds in a tree, or in the first course, it discusses the two birds in a tree, the soul and the super soul. The soul is the bird in the tree who's very wildly and madly trying to taste the fruits of the tree, which are apparently sometimes bitter and sometimes sweet, but always actually there are different varieties of bitterness. Just by label, they call this is bitter and this is sweet. And the other bird of the tree, his friend, is not at all interested in tasting the fruit of the tree, but he just wants to have a friendly relationship with the fruit of the bird and is just waiting for the other bird to return to him and have a friendly relationship. So Vidarbhi made friends again with this Brahmana, or the soul again made friends with the super soul, who came as her spiritual master. The husband also represented the spiritual master, and the Paramatma also came as the spiritual master in the form of this Brahmana. The meaning of this story, which is apparently just a mundane love story, is very interesting. That is, Puranjana, Puran means this body, And Jana, her name is Sari.
Purmana Siti.
The city of nine gates, this body. And Jana means the person who wants to enjoy the body and thus enters in the body and gets great attachment to the body.
But
where is Puranjana? Puranjana is the spirit soul. And the spirit soul, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Najayate Minide Vasadasya, Nahanyate Hanyamane Surire. There's no birth or death for the soul. He always was and he always will be. But, and he's very famous in the Bhagavad Gita because Krishna talks about this soul so much.
For what, Devi?
The lady is the material intelligence of King Puranjana. And the whole world where Puranjana was looking for happiness and couldn't find any are all the different stages of life in which the soul is transmigrating, and sometimes thinking that he's happy, and sometimes thinking that he's sad. In one classroom, the teacher is noticing that one student is not paying attention. Rather, he's creating disturbance and not allowing the other students to pay attention. So the teacher says to him, if you don't pay attention, if you don't stop this mischief, I'm going to cut off your head, hang it on the wall, and you'll be able to see it there. So that student became so fearful and immediately sat up straight and behaved himself. But the thing is, if he is able to see his own head hanging on the wall, he must have another head to see it with. So in this way, Krishna creates illusory suffering for the soul so that the soul thinks that this is a terrible place, this material world, I'm suffering so much. And then he fixes the association of bhaktas and gets out of that situation. So King Puranjana was traveling to the different stages of life. Then he came to the human form of life, and that is the city of nine gates. The nine gates represent the two eyes, two ears, nose, mouth, and the anus and the genitals. So nine gates or nine holes of the body. And he lived in the capital city, in the capital of his city. And the capital represents the heart. And this capital has so many beautiful domes made of sapphires and rubies and diamonds and so many different kinds of jewels were lining the floors of his capital building, his assembly house. And the buildings around the assembly house were all made of silver, gold, and iron. So the capital was the heart, is the heart of the living entity. Because without the heart, nothing else can function. So from the capital city of any country, there's the government which controls the rest of the country. So the capital is the heart. And all the diamonds and jewels and sapphires represent all the unlimited desires of the soul for material enjoyment. And in this city, there were many, many roads and pathways. So the soul wants to enjoy in many different ways, and one of the paths even leads to liberation. And there were many gardens and restaurants and recreation places, and these, and walls, very high walls to protect the city, and many beautiful trees and bushes and gardens. So the walls represent the skin of the skin covering the body, because it was the outer walls of the city. And the trees represent the hairs of the body, the long hairs and the short hairs of the body. And various restaurants and other places of enjoyment also represent the different sense objects and senses that are covering the soul in the form of the body. And the there were trenches also. Trenches were and canals. And what does that represent? Okay, so the city represents the city, I know, on the flag and festoon represented the soles of his feet and the palms of his hands. the intelligence, the lady represented material intelligence through which we make decisions how to enjoy the senses and their objects. The bodyguard, who is the serpent with five heads, is the police force of the city, and that is representative of the five airs in the body. Upon different five airs, which control Jan, which controls all the functions of all the organs in the body. And without these five airs in the body, nothing else can function. The 11 servants that were accompanying the bodyguard are the 10 senses and the mind. Mind makes the 11 sense. There are five working senses, the hands, the legs, the stomach, and the five knowledge acquiring senses, like the eyes, ears, nose, five not touch, five knowledge acquiring senses. And the very fragrant air was carrying water from the lake, and that represented the sense objects like sound, taste, touch, smell, and hearing. So actually, we think that we're enjoying a beautiful surrounding, but we're just stuck in the body, and we're just experiencing the body and the mind and all of those things like that. Then when death came, his ministers, sons, relatives, and citizens represent the different parts of his body, like the bone, the marrow, the skin, the blood, the parts, and all those things in the body that all neglected him and wouldn't help him at the time of old age. Everything stopped functioning. And the servants, the mind, and the senses all left with the police, left the body to take Puranjana to the next body. And then that Brahman represents Abhijata, or the super soul, who's our most dear friend. So when the husband died, the husband represents the pure devotee, or the spiritual master. So first he tried, and the nine sons represented the nine practices of devotional service. The seven sons represent all seven except for Satyam and Atmani Vedanam. And they were like neophytes. Satyam and Atmani Vedanam are the two parts of devotional service that can only be practiced by those in Radmarg, and those are actually the preachers. Neophytes can actually preach like myself for just give combinations of words. So then, when he left his body, first he cried. So first it's the duty of the disciples to cry when the spiritual master leaves, and then it's his duty to carry out his instructions. So whoever meant to be the next spiritual master, he carries out the instructions like Srila Gurudev with the Srila Prabhupada, and he becomes the next acharya in the line of the Guru Sadhguru.
Anyhow, luckily he will have a bona fide guru and we can give up all these things and pure bhakti, we realize everything and then we engage in the service. The book is in it. Remember Krishna always, he is in the in Kali Yuga, we cannot do all these things, but we can count and remember very easily. Krishna, Govinda Damo Dharma, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare